I've been keeping a secret from you for months.
Rude.
But don't be offended. I was keeping it from Becca, too. I think Becca is...
Rude.
Becca is slightly offended.
I'm a little salty still. Welcome to the Holy Mess Podcast. I'm Becca.
And I'm Joy.
If you think you're a mess, you are not alone. We talk about the things of life through a lens of faith and find the hope in all of it. This section is usually where we tease what's coming up, but we are so excited about this first part. If you missed the news, Joy, please explain what they're about to hear.
Well, something crazy happened on the live radio this week. Becca and I were doing a show together, and my messy moment this week is that I've been keeping a secret from you for months.
Rude.
But don't be offended. I was keeping it from Becca, too. I think Becca is...
Rude.
Becca is slightly offended.
I'm a little salty still. Not gonna lie.
So I decided to surprise the whole world along with Becca through a brand new game. If you've had kind of a tough day, I'm so glad you're here. Mm-mm. Because we're about to play a brand new game called Secret in a Box. It's going to be entertaining no matter what. So I've given Becca a box. She cannot see what's inside, and she has to stick her hand in and describe to us what she feels and then see if she can figure out what it is. Do you want to tell them why you're so nervous?
Because you were gleefully dancing beforehand and you're like, I can't wait, I can't wait. And the last time we did this, there was a live crab on the inside. So I'm not confident in you.
Literally a live animal. So could be anything in there. Okay. Okay. Wait, here's your one clue.
Okay.
What's inside is a clue for the future. Stick your hand in. She's too scared.
Okay.
Oh, did it move?
It fell. Is it a water bottle? It's
no.
A.
Tell me what you feel.
Joy.
What is it?
It's a baby bottle. Joy.
What?
Joy.
What?
Joy.
What?
Are you?
I'm having a baby.
What?
When? How?
Who? What is happening? I'm really having another baby.
When? January.
What?
I know.
That's like, you're like 80 weeks along.
Exactly 80 weeks.
The brain, you could see my brain moving a bit because I was afraid to be like, are you pregnant?
I realized that because Becca kept going, and staring at me. And I thought, oh, she's being a good friend because she doesn't want to say on a national live radio show, are you pregnant? And then me go, no, my son is graduated from bottles or something so dumb like that.
Well, that's the other part is that you had a baby bottle in the box and I was like, oh, it's a water bottle. And then I felt the end and you're like, what do you feel? And the only thing my brain could think was nipple. And I feel a nipple, but I'm not going to say that on the radio.
Yeah, her brain really froze. And when you hear Becca freaking out, I asked that a bunch of people here at the radio station, like, kick open the door and unleash confetti cannons. And so you heard her screaming for her life. It was really fun in here, but it was very terrifying. And so we're going to tell you the backstory behind how this happened, because there was a lot of deception that
day.
Yeah,
you're so sneaky, and I hate it.
I really am. I didn't know I was so good at lying.
What a skill.
Well, I had to secretly record this. If you want to see the video, text the word baby to 91979, or it's at wayfm.com right now. I wanted it to be recorded, and I wanted our team to be able to like edit it and make it really awesome. So I told Becca we were going to play this new game. And normally, if you do anything on the radio with a visual element, you would do it also live on the internet.
Right. So I kept asking you, oh, don't you want to do video for this? And you're like, nah, it might not work out.
I had to come up with a reason. I go, it's probably going to be dumb. No, I'm too embarrassed. And what if the internet hates it?
Even right before, I go, well, maybe just have someone come in and film it with their cell phone. I was just thinking, I don't know why she doesn't want to film this.
I know. And we use an iPad to film, and Becca literally had her notes for the show sitting on top of it. And I was like, I have to get that iPad out of here so our digital team outside could switch cameras without her knowing. So she went to the bathroom and I ran over there and got it. And I thought, certainly she's going to come back and be like, something's amiss. And she came back and was like, well, how's it going? I was like, Yes.
I did not notice.
You would never make a good spy because you don't notice when things are different.
I'm not observant.
And cameras were on in the studio. The only regret is the lighting is not good in the video because we have like an overhead light, but you only turn it on for video. And I thought, if I switch that puppy on, Becca's going to be on to me.
Okay. I didn't even know it was on today until just now. So I probably wouldn't have noticed.
We should have turned it on before we even came in.
Let's give more backstory too, because this is September. And you have known since
May. Listen, I'm so glad we took a break from the podcast because I was dying. I wasn't dying, but I felt like I was. I had such a tough first trimester, which I don't even like to complain or say anything about it because there are always women who have it worse. And I have a girlfriend who ended up in the hospital in her first trimester. That was not me. But it was very tough with my first son. I was very, very sick. And this one was worse. I hoped it would be better because I was prepared for it. But I was literally, I felt sick from like 5 minutes after I woke up. And it got worse through the whole day until I was just in bed and couldn't move at night. And it was very tough.
Did you just accidentally reveal the gender?
What do you mean?
You said my first son.
Oh, no. I don't know.
As of this recording, I don't know this part yet. And I keep
Becca still doesn't know the gender.
I keep trying to dig it out of her. Did I get it right?
I'm not saying anything. We're not doing a gender reveal yet, Becca. Okay, but I'll tell
apparently, if I ask Judah, he knows.
My son is very verbal about it. I was like, you're not allowed to talk to Miss Becca. I will tell you that I thought Becca was on to me. I thought she knew. I totally did. Do you remember the conversations we had like a week or two prior?
Well, you had said something about there's one day where you were snacking in here. And you were eating a ton.
I'm always eating.
And then you were like, oh, I'm going to go home and eat dinner. I'm like, oh, you're still, like, right away? You're going to eat dinner? And apparently, to you, you were thinking, oh, she knows I'm pregnant. Me, I was like, yeah, girl. We be snacking. It's what we do.
I just paused and was like, yes, I'm going to eat more. And I was like, I don't know how to explain this.
I had no idea that that was a hint that you were growing a human
right.
being.
Well, the same day, we got a notification of a brand new meeting that popped up like the next day. And I was like, they can't do this to us. I have a doctor's appointment I have to go to. And Becca goes, another doctor? Are you okay?
You just had one.
She's like, you've been going to the doctor a lot.
You've had
and I was
stomach
like,
issues.
I have. I actually have. And I didn't know how to like dodge that. And I was like, actually, I don't have an appointment. I was wrong. Everything's great. I thought she was so on to me.
No, I was just thinking because I know you. Well, the last time you had stomach issues, though, you were pregnant then.
Exactly.
Too, so maybe.
That's a cover for me. We've learned.
Oh, it was just okay. So baby number two coming January 2023.
Yeah,
and it's a girl.
I'm not saying gender.
It's a boy.
I'm not saying any gender right now. It is a baby. And the baby's been kicking me a lot. Baby's healthy, which is great. Some people online said, what is it? You just like to wait a long time before you tell people? And I said, yeah, I actually do. I don't know why. Well, I know the first trimester can be nerve-wracking, so yeah. I like to wait. And then there's a really big appointment around 20 weeks, and I tend not to tell people until they go in and say everything's okay, because in some ways, that makes it more real. You get to see the baby, and they said, baby looks so healthy, and everything's great, which is even a better bill of health than my first baby had. So it was just really, really sweet to be able to tell everybody and go, baby's doing great. And I feel great. Second trimesters are the best.
And let's talk about how
I use that word lightly. I'm tired, but
but let's talk about how, I mean, you are now 21
23
20 weeks along and you stand up. That is so irritating. You can't tell you're pregnant.
I know. I really stay really small, so people sometimes like don't even believe me. But I think the not good side of being small, which I thought I'd be bigger with the second one, but you never know. The part of still being tiny is I think I'm realizing that's why I have a lot of pain with my pregnancies, because they said I carry internally, and the baby's like, well, every time I move, I'm punching or kicking an organ more aggressively.
Aren't babies supposed to be on the inside? I don't know.
I mean, they are, but I'm just saying some women like pop out and babies very much in front. Mine is very much like pushing against my spine.
As close to mama as possible.
Yes, they do say I just carry differently than other women. So people are always like, you don't. But it helps when you're trying to hide it. So I've just been wearing baggy clothes.
My other favorite part is that you would tell a couple people and then be like, okay, I'm done. And you explained that to me. I was like, that's so joy.
I don't know why, but I do. I have issues. I would like tell, like even I told my family when I was visiting them just last month.
And last month?
I know I waited a long time.
Wow.
They were kind of mad too. But I wanted to tell them in person. So I wanted to wait till I was there. And I told them and then my parents freaked out. And every 2 minutes they were on the phone with like a relative or a family friend. And they were like, tell them the news. Tell them. And I don't know what it is about it, but when I'm forced to reveal like personal news and I haven't worked myself up into it, I don't know if I get anxious or whatever. And I'd be like, I'm done. No more people this week. And my dad would be like, but your brothers don't know. And I was like, don't care. They'll find out later. They won't care anyways.
I love to, because you told our bosses before I found out. Mm-hmm. The whole building knew before I found out.
Really, the whole building found out just like hours before, Becca.
Well, but the bosses knew a few weeks before.
Yeah, 2 or 3 weeks. Because we started planning this.
So when you told me, I was like, Ron knew before I did? No offense, Ron. I know you listen sometimes.
Are you still mad at me?
I just want to know the gender. And here's the thing. Joy and I have vacation time coming up. And she's like, okay, well, I guess we need to wait another 4 weeks for you to find that out. I'm like, no, this is about me now.
You've had your baby in your moment.
Let's just film it now and you can share it later. I just want to know.
Becca was like, I will stick my face in a pie and eat for a pink or blue baby.
Yes.
And I was like, why would you do that? She was like, I just have to know.
I have to know. Well, your original plan was popping a balloon, and balloon popping scares me.
Oh, but that's right. Becca, I forgot. Is there a name for that? Becca's terrified of the sound of popping balloons. Becca, I'm so glad you told me. This is how you know I have crazy bad pregnancy brain. The day of the announcement for Live on the Air, I went to a party store and I was like, I need a gender reveal balloon, and was trying to buy it. And then as I got ready to like pay and take it out of there, my brain was like, wait, why would I reveal the gender? They don't even know I'm pregnant.
I would have been like, what?
Why do you have that big black boy or girl balloon?
I'm going to call Party City and see if I can get security video from that day. See what balloon you were trying to buy.
Oh my,
was it pink or blue?
Well,
on
they're
the
black and then confetti comes
but
out.
But you
a
know
color.
Which one you're.
I know.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness.
You're so
guys,
annoying.
We won't talk about this anymore because you can tell Becca's struggling with it.
One more thing. This is just my favorite comment from online. Someone was like, do you feel like you need to keep up with Becca now that she got a second dog?
I was like, yeah. Actually, I don't know how you knew. Ivy's the reason I did this. It's Ivy, her second dog.
Oh, that was just fantastic. My messy moment. Honestly, the rest of the podcast isn't going to be as great, but we still want to do our normal thing because we love doing this with you. Oh, by the way, before I get to my messy moment, I do want to mention that we did not know until recently that our email address was no longer working.
Oh, yeah.
It is now. So if you emailed us, it bounced back. I was thinking, man, it's weird we haven't gotten any podcast emails. It wasn't
and
working.
It's, what is the email again?
Holymess@wayfm.com.
Yes.
So
we've had a lot of changes and email got crazy, but now it's fixed.
Yes. We're good to go. Okay. My messy moment was from a water park, something you typically do as a kid and it's always a blast. Well, why can't you enjoy it as an adult? And we have one near us. It's at Gaylord Opryland. It's this giant resort and they have this beautiful water park.
I've always wanted to visit. I'm so excited you got to go.
It's indoors and it's outdoors and it's a bit pricey and you have to get a hotel room to be able to get into the park.
That's why I've never gone. Like when you're a local, there's not really a good reason to stay the night there and it's pretty pricey. So
it is.
You just add it on to a room, but that's what you did, I heard.
Yes. So I had wanted to do this for so long. Summer was almost up because they're closing the outdoor section after Labor Day. And so I got with three of my friends who we had talked about doing this. I'm like, okay, how about we do sound waves? And they were in. But this is where I think it's just another example of how I have not fully worked out all my insecurities. Because I was like, well, what if one of them didn't want to go, but they said yes because they felt like they had to because everyone else did? And what if one of them like couldn't pay the amount, but they said yes because everyone else did? And then even day of, I was just so worried about if other people were having fun.
Mm.
And any little inconvenience that got into my brain, for example, the indoor section is very loud because there are children in there and it echoes and everything. I mean, there's children everywhere, but children are loud. And so any kind of inconvenience we'd encounter, I'd be like, oh my gosh, they hate this day. They regret so much that they spent the money.
Because it was your idea. So
it was
you
my
felt
idea.
The pressure to make it great.
And to go take this a little bit deeper too, when I was growing up, I typically hung out with an older friend group. And I know, this isn't just a feeling, I know that I was kind of like the pity tag along. They're like, okay, Becca, you know, yeah, you can come hang out with us, I guess. You know, we need to be nice to you or whatever. And I know I've carried that into adulthood. And so,
even when it doesn't exist, you portray it.
Yeah. And so I'm really insecure in my friendships. And I don't always realize that until a situation comes up where I am taking the lead or I have an idea or I want everyone to have fun. And then all of a sudden I put all of this burden on me because I think, oh, no one wants to hang out with me. They're just doing it because they're pitying me.
And then you don't have fun and they probably had a blasty blast.
And then I'm asking the whole time, like, do you want to do this? It's okay if not. Do you want to do this? It's okay if not. It's okay if not. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. And it's just...
They're like, why is she saying that?
Oh, it's exhausting. So I need to, the women I have in my life, you included, Joy, are phenomenal. I love them so much. I know you all love me, but I lose sight of that sometimes.
It's hard to get out of your brain.
Yeah.
Sometimes I tell my husband that I'm jealous of the way that he interacts with his guy friends because guys, I just don't think that they get as emotionally maybe invested in friendships, or maybe they do, but they don't do the things in their brains that we do. Sometimes when I come home from a hangout and I say something to my husband like, well, no one asked me any questions, and I don't know if they just have a lot going on or they haven't figured out how, or if they just don't care what's going on in my life right now, and then I don't want to interject. My husband's like, what happens when girls hang out? I'm like, well, what happens when guys hang out? He said, I don't know. We just say what we want to say, don't say what we don't, do fun things together. I'm like, that sounds
rude.
Freeing. That sounds so fun.
Hey, this is the perfect transition into our mental health moment because it also has to do with friendships and what you brought up, asking questions. This kind of came to mind a few weeks ago when you analyzed the text I sent to my niece, my 13-year-old niece, and she only responded with an okay. And Joy's like, yeah, because you didn't ask her any questions.
She didn't have a good response. You didn't lay out a platform.
And so since then, I've been really analyzing my interactions with people. And sometimes people ask me something, and I realized I don't always return the favor. I might be selfish.
That's really insightful, though, Becca.
But here's the thing. Even if you're not selfish, there's a tool that I discovered a long time ago and was reminded to resurrect this past week. And that is the power of a good icebreaker question. So this is something my husband and I used to do on long car rides. You can do it with your friends. I'll sometimes Marco Polo, which is a video app, my friends in the morning with a question.
I love it.
They have a chance to answer. And they're super easy to find. You can just Google road trip questions,
yes,
basically. But it's fun things like, what is the wildest thing you'd consider doing to your hair?
Oh, make it pink.
I would totally buzz, like, shave it all off.
What? Why?
See, that's interesting conversation.
Who did that? Someone. Was it Taya from
Hillsong
Worship? Hillsong United? Yeah.
Yeah.
I would pulled it off.
I would just do wigs for a while even. I think that'd be fun. Would we have been friends in middle school?
Probably not.
Really?
I don't deserve to be friends with anyone at that age. Like,
okay, so you also have insecurities?
Well, I was a little bit mean because I was so insecure, and it sounds like you also had insecurities, so I don't think major insecurity befriends each other.
Yeah, but that's another way to kind of just get to know your friends and how they think. What accomplishment are you most proud of? And that can be an overall thing, or what are you most proud of this week?
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah.
And it's helpful to get people to answer these things because then they may ask you and you have to come up with them, and you're sharing things from your lives very intentionally, which I just don't think we do enough.
Exactly. And then this last one is my favorite. What is something you wish someone would ask you about today?
Because so good.
Sometimes we carry around pain or even excitement, but we're afraid to just interject it. And I think that friendships are richer if we kind of allowed those things to happen more authentically.
Yeah. One of my girlfriends resonated this back to me recently, and she said that she was excited to talk to her girlfriends about all these complex things happening at her job. But when they got together, there's like four or five of them, that no one asked her about it. And then she didn't quite know where in the conversation there was a good spot to be like, hey, guys, I want to unpack some stuff about my job.
Because right.
that feels very self-serving.
It can, yeah.
Everybody pay attention to me right now. And there's not always a good segue for it. I've been sitting there in a conversation waiting for a segue to talk about something. But especially if it's a little on the heavier, harder side. Yeah. You don't want to just out of the blue be like, guess what happened to me?
I just want to say that I provided plenty of segues into you telling me you were pregnant. I'm just saying.
That was an intentional segue. That's different. But she said that when she left, she never told anybody about it. And then she thought later, let's make sure that we go around at some point when we get together. This is another idea as friends and say, is there anything going on in your life we don't know about that you'd like to share with us? Which is perfect. Just like that question. And it just allows room and space because there may be something going on in someone's life that you love and they don't quite know how to bring it up. And yeah, we're not expert like interviewers with people. So yeah, and sometimes there's things that I wouldn't even plan to share, but if someone asks the right question, then they know how to pray for me.
Yeah.
And you're suddenly like, oh, yeah, that is a really hard part of my life right now. I just push it down when I'm around people. Yeah.
So part of mental health is living in community and being able to have the hard conversations, and sometimes you need a little nudge to do it. On to our mess and bless of the week. Do you want to go first?
Yes, we start with mess.
Yes. Every week you ask. It's my favorite.
Listen, if you love to buy 95 rolls of toilet paper at the same time, you're going to be upset with me because Sam's Club, for the first time in like 11 years, is raising their membership fee because of inflation.
Like everyone else.
I was a Sam's Club member for years and years. I'm now at Costco just because it's a little closer to where we are. But this is how we get cheaper things.
Yeah.
So to raise the membership is very frustrating because that's where you get your gas. That's where you get discount items. And that's why I buy in bulk, because I don't want to have to go to the store a million times and I want everything cheaper. So it's hard to store it all. But trust me, I get like 900 paper plates and I'm happy as could be. But it's just important to know that everything, including these avenues like big box stores that we use to save money, even those are more expensive.
I have kind of a hot take on this.
Okay.
Big box stores do not save my family money. Because my husband does the shopping for us, and he gets so distracted in those places. Last time he came home with a 12-pack of creme brulees, which we then had to buy a torch for, because of course you can't make them any other way. And then you don't have butane for the torch, so we had to go buy butane. So it turned into this whole, like, we just needed paper towels. And now we're buying a torch?
You should have invited me over, because I love some creme brulee. I totally would have bought that too, Joey. Way to go. What a great purchase.
My mess, I think, might surprise you, Joy, because I do not have kids, but my mess is this woman who was going viral after complaining about kids on her flight and talking about how she would pay any amount of money for an adults only flight, which I get. Like, I don't think that's a bad idea. But she goes on to detail about how a baby cried the entire flight behind her.
That's,
and then there was
really intense.
Another kid kicking her seat the entire time. I feel, even as a childless woman, that it is just part of life, and that baby is all of a sudden having their ears and world rocked.
Mm-hmm.
Of course they're going to scream. That's uncomfortable for me as an adult. And they're like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And honestly, I've become a little bit more emboldened to make comments to other people's kids in public to be like, please stop kicking my seat. Because sometimes that's what they'll listen to.
Sometimes it works.
So I think it's just my mess, because I feel for parents. Whenever I see them on flights, when I see a baby walking by, I don't think, oh, I'm going to be miserable. I think, ooh, they're going to be miserable.
Yes.
Because it's not like they want their baby crying for everyone.
And even now that I have a kid I've taken on flights, when I see another parent, my first thought is, I wonder if I can help them in any way.
Yeah.
Like, if there's two of us and one kid, I'm like, I wonder if they're going to need some assistance. And sometimes they do just need someone to talk to their kid or distract them or hold the baby for a second. And I originally, when I didn't have kids and I would take flights, I would get very annoyed. I mean, no one wants to hear a kid cry.
Yeah.
But now I understand things like some kids are in the midst of custody stuff. They have to be flown between parents at young ages. Other kids are traveling to see family members. They're too far away. That's the only way to get there.
Yeah.
You can't put a kid on a 20-hour road trip. And road tripping with kids is even tougher. I mean, I've done that 11, 12 hours. My son doesn't sleep in the car, no matter what you do. I mean, some kids get really car sick. So now I know there's so many factors that mean there are just going to be kids on flights, and that has to happen sometimes. And parents don't always have a choice. And I mean, sometimes we know an amazing woman who her husband was overseas, and she already had a daughter. He's in the military. I'm thinking of Carrie.
Then
she had her second, and she had an opportunity to fly to Europe to see him. So she flew to Europe with a newborn and a toddler by herself overnight.
She's insane. And also amazing.
But that's the only way she was going to see her husband in a whole year.
And for like, the kids to see their dad.
Yes, she's going to do it. But I have no doubt the people on the flight were like, what is happening?
You know what I would advocate for? Child sections of planes.
Oh, yeah.
Because then all the parents can get together and just be all hands on deck.
And the kids can all distract each other.
Exactly.
And watch each other's iPads. That's all we need. Well, my bless this week is from Jonah Hill. He's an actor who recently came out and said to protect his mental health, he's no longer going to be promoting his films on a circuit tour after he does them. He said, I realized that for 20 years, I've been experiencing anxiety attacks because of these public-facing events. And I'm just not going to do it anymore. So he's putting that out there that if he does a film, if he does anything, he's not going to do it. And I think because that's not a job that any of us have, we don't understand that you make the movie. That's their primary job. And then a year or so later, you have to go on this junket press tour thing where you did an interview with Dennis Quaid.
I did, yeah.
So how did that kind of work that day for him, you think?
It was crazy because it was at a hotel. It was in a hotel room. And we had 15 minutes with him, I think. And that was his entire day, was people just cycling in. It'd be like, okay, we finished ours, the next person would come in and start.
And you have to be on all day.
His entire day. And you'll probably ask the same questions over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
I also know Jonah Hill is one that people have been critical of his looks at times. And if you're adding that to like, okay, what are people going to think of me? Now I have to plan all these outfits and make sure that I'm presenting well every time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't blame him at all.
Yeah, he said part of this has been made worse by childhood insecurities about my body and the things that people say about how I look. So I'm trying to become a better version of me, and it means that I'm not doing these interviews anymore. And even though that may hurt his career in some ways, I was just proud of some of the, I don't know, to say this is a boundary I have to put up. And I know it's a part of my job and people are going to be mad, but it sounds like he's done some therapy as well from what he was saying. And he's like, this is my boundary. Yeah. Take it or leave it.
Good.
So we won't be seeing any interviews with him. And I think that's totally fine.
I'm really excited to share my bless with you because we were talking about this the other day and you had no idea what I was talking about. It's this viral moment. It's been going viral for a few weeks on TikTok, and it is in my head rent-free every single day now.
Oh, no.
It started with this interview with this little boy. He's at the park and he has this giant corn on the cob on a stick.
I love those.
Yes. He's eating it. And you need to find the original interview because it's so adorable and it's much longer than what I'm about to play. But someone took that interview and made it into a song. I might need to translate after the song plays, but just enjoy the corn song.
For me, I really like corn.
What do you like about corn?
What was that?
So he says it's corn, a big lump with knobs. It has the juice. I couldn't imagine a more beautiful thing. I mean, look at this thing. When I tried it with butter, everything changed. It's amazing.
And he said it's a lump with a bunch of what?
With knobs. He's really hard to understand, but he's so cute. And every single day now, I'm always like, it's corn. And this kid has turned into a viral sensation. Chipotle, the brand themselves, did a partnership with him where he's ordering at Chipotle. Corn, of course.
Thank God. I hope he becomes a millionaire. This kid is just everything we need in life.
He's on Cameo, which is where you can pay people to make videos. It's $200 to get a video from Corn Kid, but they're so cute.
I just love that he's so passionate about something. I also love corn on the cob so much. And my husband hates it because it gets stuck in your teeth. And I buy it and he never wants us to make it for dinner But when we do, I bring all the leftover ears to work and eat them in the studio. I know he doesn't want to be around me with my corn teeth.
Thank you so much for listening. If you got something out of this episode, we would love if you would share it with a friend. To be notified every time there's a new episode, simply text the word MESS, M-E-S-S, to 91979. And if you have anything you want to share with us, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at holymess@wayfm.com. Thanks for being a part of our messy family.